for that song. Well, amen. It's good to be here this morning. Thank you so much for being here, being with us. If you would take your Bibles, if you'll join me in the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10, as we can conclude the chapter this morning, we begin the next Sunday, we'll begin Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, beginning the last few days of Jesus' life. Mark puts much emphasis on there in relation to the size of the book. Mark is just 16 chapters, and six of those chapters are on the last few days of Jesus' life. And so I look forward to that next week. This morning, Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. If you can, in honor of the reading of God's word, if you can stand with me as we read, I'd appreciate that. If not, I understand if you can't. Verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, these few moments. May our hearts be stirred. May you teach us. May you encourage, however you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Many of us, if you're like me, and I was just thinking back on the week, and nothing stands out like, oh, we had this week. I mean, not like last week when we had Kids Blast was last week. It was just a crazy week, and I'm sure you all had busy weeks, full, lots of stuff going on. There were a lot of things that no doubt demanded your attention. There were a lot of things that demanded my attention this week, and I just got to thinking about it. It's a crazy week, busy. But I think we come to this point before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And the thing, I just want to kind of help you this morning with something that the Lord spoke to me about. Just in thinking about sometimes how we get so caught up in my life and in my direction and in my responsibilities and in my whatever it is. Just my life, my stuff. I hope we can learn this morning as from verse 49. I just took that statement. It says, "And Jesus stood still." It'll be a help to you this morning. As I tried to learn this lesson, as I'm trying to learn the lesson, I think Jesus is trying to teach us, and this is the title, "Learning to Stand Still." Just learning to stand still. Learning to see and understand and be compassionate on other people. Learning to, despite all the responsibilities, and I know a lot of times we're overwhelmed with necessary things. I believe there are times in our life where God brings people across our path, whether they're hurting or whether they're hopeless or whether they're distraught or whatever it might be, and God wants us to just stand still for a second and see how we can be a blessing to that person, to show compassion to that person. Perhaps it's to witness to someone. Learning to stand still. This is a unique text, as they all are, really, but Jesus is closer to Jerusalem now than he was last week. I mean, that's an obvious statement, but he is drawing ever closer to Jerusalem. There, he's already told his disciples three different times, there, when he arrives in Jerusalem, he'll be betrayed. He'll be rejected, he'll be scorned, he'll be mocked, he'll be crucified ultimately on a Roman cross, and he's headed to Calvary. And as he's headed that way, we get this picture this morning that Jesus is thronged by people, surrounded by people, most of who don't truly understand who he is. The Jews were blind to who he is, and though he tried to show them and tell them on many occasions, they missed it. And the disciples who are closest to him often misunderstood who Jesus was. And time after time, he revealed his identity to them, and the Bible gives us testimony that they didn't even recognize who he was until after he died on the cross. And as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, he and his disciples pass through the city of Jericho, and they're confronted with a blind man. Our world today is full of blind people. Not necessarily a physical blindness. The Bible says that there's spiritual blindness, that the god of this world, the devil, seeks to blind minds. Believers, we can have our spiritual sight clouded and fogged over by the weights of this world, by sin. There are a lot of people that need to be able to see. In 2018, a blind man fell onto the tracks of a subway station in Toronto, Canada. And what could have turned into a terrible tragedy with the impending danger of an oncoming subway train turned into a story of heroism as two men jumped down and pulled the man to safety. And it makes me think, wow, I wonder if I would have responded that way. That's how you want to kind of be known, as a hero. And on the other side of that, I read a story in 2011 about another incident that was caught on video, and the article that I read said that this story shocked the moral sensibilities and shamed the nation. You see, on this day in October of 2011 in China, a two-year-old girl was struck by a van in a hit-and-run accident. She was then ignored by at least 18 people who passed by, some going out of their way to ignore her. She was then struck by a second van that also didn't stop. Finally, a 58-year-old trash collector stopped and helped, but it was too late. It was too late. The next day at the hospital, she was declared dead. And later in an interview, one of those that passed by and did nothing was interviewed by the local media, a middle-aged man who said with an uncomfortable smile on his face, he said, "This wasn't my child. Why should I help?" This led to an outcry in this city, and laws were changed, laws were passed, and the media's cry was, shame on us for allowing such a tragedy. And we would consider both of those things potential tragedies, a potential tragedy there in the subway station, the tragedy of this poor young child being ignored, tragedies. And oftentimes I put myself in those scenarios. Man, I've never been in that type of a scenario where I saw something. What would it take to have provoked me to move to action? What would it have taken to reach out and help someone like that blind man that fell into the subway station, or this young child that was helpless? But I would remind us this morning that we're surrounded by a different kind of helpless people, a different kind of hurting people, a different kind of hopeless people. I think it'd be good for us at times just to stop, to stand still and see, examine who God has brought into our life, perhaps for the very reason of what Jesus did here, to show compassion, to show care. Matthew's gospel tells us that when Jesus healed this blind man, Matthew actually tells us that there were two. Mark records the one that spoke up. The Bible tells us in Matthew that Jesus put his hands upon them and he healed them. Mark tells us here in our text that it was an immediate healing. Jesus, when Jesus does things, it's an immediate type of a thing. There are those all around us. There are those all around us who need someone to care. What would it take? What's it going to take for me to just stand still for a second? Take time to witness. Take time to care. Take time to reach out. Archaeologists tell us that Jericho was the oldest continually occupied city in the world. It was refurbished from the Old Testament site by King Herod and moved approximately a little over a mile away from the Old Testament location. Jericho, the word means a smell or to smell. It means a place of fragrance. It was called the City of Roses. Among other flowering, fragrant plants were roses. And it was known as a place of abundance of honey, and travelers passing through, no doubt, were surrounded by many fragrant smells, wonderful smells. And there'd be a different aroma, a different fragrance in Jerusalem this day that had never been there before. You see, the Rose of Sharon was there. The Lily of the Valley has showed up, was passing through Jericho. And as he did, he demonstrated the great care and concern and compassion. If you remember, Jericho was the home of how the song refers to him as a wee little man named Zacchaeus. And Jesus, when he entered Jericho, he encountered a rich man, a tax collector. And he had climbed in a tree just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And in that instance, Jesus stopped and called Zacchaeus down from that tree. On this particular day, the roads were jammed, packed with pilgrims going to the temple, traveling. All of Israel was on their way to Jerusalem. As the Passover drew closer, the road through Jericho, a main route, would have been crowded, as it was one of the primary routes to the temple. And people crowded along the roads, many to see Jesus. They might not have known who he was, but they knew that he was someone special. And here, amidst the hustle and bustle of daily life, Jesus stopped. Jesus, I believe, first of all, this morning, Jesus stopped because of the plight of the helpless. Jericho was on the outskirts of the wilderness on the way to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was 3,500 feet above Jericho, and Jesus would soon make that climb from Jericho to Jerusalem, as verse 45 tells us, where he will give his life a ransom for many. But first here he stopped for a man whose life was filled with darkness, a man who'd never seen God's creation. In that day, blindness was a common affliction. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how long or why he was blind. All it tells us is that he was blind. The Bible, there was no cure. The text doesn't tell us about his age or his background much. And as much as he desired to receive his sight, there was nothing Bartimaeus could do. He was filled with darkness. Blindness hindered his daily activities. He couldn't hold a job. He couldn't earn a wage, and thus he begged. He depended on the sympathy and generosity of others. And here we see a glimpse of the insensitivity of the crowd. We'd call it a mob mentality or a herd behavior. That's the tendency of people to act in unison. And day after day, year after year, as Bartimaeus sat and begged, he watched the mob move by. Jesus and his disciples encounter Bartimaeus on the roadside, and his condition is revealed to us as a life filled with darkness, a man hindered, a man whose condition brought despair and uncertainty. So it's a unique comparison to the condition of the lost today. The Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It reminds me, perhaps, that we walk by a lot of blind people every day, helpless and hopeless. The Bible says that Jesus stops at the cry of the helpless and the hopeless cases. And Romans 5:6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Among all those entering the city that day, this man had heard about Jesus. He no doubt heard about from the temple goers, and they had seen him coming and going. They had seen this blind man, and this blind man no doubt had encountered a variety of responses from his countrymen. But when he heard about Jesus, an expectant hope sprang up within him. Surely Jesus could help. Jesus stops for the plight of the helpless. Jesus stopped at the persistent cry of the hurting. Many today are looking for someone to care, someone to stop, someone to show compassion. And God may want to use you. He may want to use me as that person in someone's life this week. Jesus stopped at the persistent cry of the hurting. Amidst the roar of the crowd, one voice stands out. No doubt the crowd was noisy that day. Mark tells us Jesus heard one voice who gained the attention of the Savior, a blind beggar, ignored, unnoticed by most. The mob didn't see him, didn't hear him any longer. And sitting by the road day after day, many gave little thought to this man. He just became part of the background. And he begins to shout, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." The mob responds that he hold his peace, to be quiet, stop being such a nuisance. But Bartimaeus, though he may not have had much, he was persistent. He was determined. Though people tried to quiet him, in their minds, he didn't matter. He didn't care. No one cared but Jesus. We have a song in our songbook. It's titled that. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And it was the persistent, energetic nature of Bartimaeus' cry that got Jesus' attention. It's a good example of prayer in that Bartimaeus wasn't discouraged by those who said to stop, by those who said to quit, by those who said to give up. I'm reminded of the persistence in prayer of the psalmist in Psalms 86, where he says, he prays, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." And Psalms 86, verse 6, 5 and 6 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication." Psalms 143, verse 1 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." In New Hampshire, there is a story about a woman and her dog who were rescued from a sewer pipe. They had fallen into the sewer system while she was out walking this dog. And the woman started screaming for help through one of the pipes in the sewer system. And as one of those involved in her rescue told reporters, "We could hear her, but she couldn't hear us." It's an interesting picture of how our relationship with God can sometimes feel, where we cry out to God for help, and He hears us, but we don't hear Him. We don't get a response when we think we need one or want one. We're reminded that no matter how bleak the situation, God is faithful. God hears us. God has promised us that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that He hears our cries for help. This blind man, he was persistent because he recognized Jesus, just who Jesus was. I think a lot of times we fail to cast all our care upon Him. We fail to come unto Him, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, because Jesus is a Sunday thing. Jesus is a Sunday morning and Sunday night thing. And during the week, I'll take care of it. I'll handle it myself. This blind man was so convinced about who Jesus was. He didn't care what the mob thought. He didn't care what the world thought, what society thought, what his class was in that society. He just knew who Jesus was, and he knew that there was something that only Jesus could do. So twice he pleads, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." He acknowledged his helplessness. He acknowledged his hopeless condition. He knew he couldn't give sight. He was completely dependent on others, and he boldly declares his dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. This perhaps was his greatest opportunity for help. As Jesus passed by, it no doubt dawned on Bartimaeus that if Jesus was who he claimed to be, this was his greatest opportunity. There was no time to give up. If he had just sat there, it would have been a day just like any other day. But he understood this was his greatest opportunity for help. He understood the opportunity that was before him. And he knew that what Jesus could do was like nothing else that anyone else could do. Jesus stops at the persistent cry of the hurting. I hope it reminded us this morning. It reminded me that often I find myself not even in the place of Jesus' disciples. I find myself in the place of Bartimaeus, where I just need to cry out to the Lord. Where there are times I just there are times I just need to pour my heart out to Him. I'll remind you that Jesus is still there. The Bible promises us in the book of Hebrews. He promises in the book of Matthew. I began this morning by talking about how busy we are. I want us to understand Jesus is never too busy to hear when we cry. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful for the fact that you don't ever get a busy signal? Most of you young people won't know what a busy signal is, but busy signal. When you send a text, and a lot of times for those sinners that use Android products, a lot of times I can send them from I can send from different things, but I can't text people from my computer to their Android. I can text if you've got an Apple, because that means you're in the will of God. I can text from my computer to an Apple phone. But what happens if I try to text to an Android from my computer, which makes it really easy when I'm at my desk, it says not delivered or message failed. I'm thankful that when the Bible tells us that when we come before the Lord, when we get into our quiet place, when we get to that place of before the Lord where it's just Him and I, there's never a moment where it's failed to deliver. Where there's never one of those things where you've been blocked. Where the message doesn't get through. I'm thankful. And that is always the case. It's always the case that God is all ready to hear. The problem is, like Bartimaeus, is we get to a point to where we're so helpless, we're so hurt that we fail and we forget to cry out to God. I want to remind us today that God understands the plight of the hurting, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that Jesus stood still. He fulfilled His destiny. He did what God had called Him to do in dying for my sin. I was helpless. I was hopeless. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful also that He hears our cry when we're hurting. I'm thankful for the opportunity that we can keep coming to Him, whether it's for a loved one, whether it's for a coworker, whether it's for a decision, whether it's for a heartache or a hurt that we can't seem to get over, can't seem to get victory in. I'm thankful that there never comes a time where He's just like, okay, that's enough. I'm tired of hearing from you. No, He desires us to be persistent. He desires to know our hearts and our hurts. Then we see here that Jesus stopped and He stood still at the display of passionate faith. No matter how small, no matter how little this blind man's faith was, Jesus said unto him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." In 1971, two Princeton psychologists staged an experiment. They took 40 seminary students, and they told them they were going to record their sermons, and the text they were given was the Good Samaritan. And they were given a specific route to take to get to the classroom where their sermons were going to be recorded. And this, along this route, these two psychologists had staged, they'd placed someone there in the place of a victim, lying in the street, groaning, coughing. Of the 40 students, it was in the way, on their route to get to where they would record their messages. Of the 40 students, only 16 stopped to help. One actually stepped over the victim thinking he was because he was blocking the doorway. Those two psychologists would later write about this experiment. They would write, "The practice of demonstrating love requires open eyes and patience, and setting aside the urgent pace at which we live life." I'd remind us this morning, as Jesus approaches Jerusalem, he was busy. He had other things on his mind, determined to fulfill God's plan. His mind must have been racing. His heart must have been filled and hurting with the sorrow that awaited him. But Jesus wasn't too busy. The Bible says Jesus stood still. He stopped. He called for him personally to come to him. And Bartimaeus, the Bible says, he got up and he threw aside his outer garments, picturing for us that he got rid of the old things. He got rid of anything that could have hindered him, and he made his way to Jesus. I think we learn from Bartimaeus that he understood, he saw that Jesus' way was better than his way. Had he said nothing, done nothing, it would have been a day like any other day. When we found out it was Jesus, he understood that his way was best. After Jesus healed this man, in verse 52, it says he tells him to go thy way. However, the Bible says he immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Luke chapter 18, Luke's account of this story says immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. It's a wonderful thing if you're saved by grace. There ought to be a desire to, there ought to be a change. The old desires, though still there, and though they might still surface once in a while, our hearts have been changed. I'm not what I used to be. There'll be a genuine desire, Psalms 100, the psalmist put, to serve the Lord with gladness. And that's what this man did. He got up. He moved to the Savior. He heard his voice. He heard his voice. Maybe there have been times in this past week, maybe in today, maybe this morning, maybe in the services today, the Lord's been speaking to your heart. And when you come to Jesus, oftentimes you have to come the same way Bartimaeus did. We have to cast away. We have to put off those things that would hinder our coming to him. If we're going to come to Jesus, you have to come to Jesus his way. A little boy got his hand stuck in a beautiful family vase as he was playing one day, and try as they might, the family couldn't get that little boy's hand out of the vase. Couldn't get it out. They pulled and pulled without hurting the child, and finally they had to break the vase, and when they did, they found his little fist balled up. And they opened up his fist, and there was a nickel in his hand. He refused to let go of that nickel in order to get his hand out of the vase. Some refuse to come to Jesus because we're unwilling to cast away those things that would hinder our walk with the Lord, that hinder our walk with God. This is the last healing miracle that Mark records for us. It teaches us how to just stand still, how to see people the way Jesus saw people. It brings to a close Jesus' teachings on discipleship. And a lot of times I find myself in the same, more of in the place of Bartimaeus, needing, crying out to Jesus, bringing nothing to him but my weakness and my hurt and need, and seeing his grace and his power and his blessing just overwhelm. I'm thankful for the day that Jesus stopped and had time for Bartimaeus. I'm thankful that Jesus has time for me. I'm thankful that he has time for you. So how's our vision this morning? How's your vision this morning? Maybe you've been saved. Praise the Lord. But perhaps the cares of this life, the burdens of life, have clouded your vision. Perhaps there's sin in your life, and though you're not blind spiritually anymore, your walk with the Lord isn't what it should be. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to your heart, and there's that one person that God's laid on your heart, and you've tried to speak to them about the things of God. You've tried to witness to them. You've tried to reach out to the helpless and the hopeless. And maybe this morning it's just an encouragement. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maybe today would be a good day to come and bring those heavy burdens to the Lord. Maybe you're weary and heavy laden. Maybe your burden is a loved one, a lost coworker, a lost family member, I'm thankful that he hears the cry of the hurting. I'm thankful that he has time for the helpless. I'm thankful that he has time for those who step out in faith, as meager as it is. Maybe today, if Jesus has spoken to your heart, maybe he's reminding us there are times we need to just stand still. Before we move on from this moment in life, there are some things we need to get right. There are some things we need to do. There are some people that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd remind us this morning, it's a good day. It'd be a good time to get to the Lord Jesus. Not let anything stop us if he's calling. If he's calling. I'm thankful that he still has time for me today. I'm thankful that he has time for you today. Would you stand with me this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe it's about your own personal walk with God. There are things that have hindered. There are things that are hindering your sight, your walk with God, your vision. Maybe there have just been times where the Holy Spirit has been talking to you and saying, slow down, slow down, slow down. I need you to talk to this person. I need you to share the gospel with this person. I'm thankful those times Jesus took time to hear from me, to hear my prayer, to hear my cry. Heavenly Father, be with these few moments together as we examine our hearts before you. I'm thankful that no one ever cared for me like you did, and I'm thankful that you still continue to care for my hurts and my heartaches. And your way is still best, and just as this blind man who was healed saw that, may this blind man, this spiritually sin-sick man who's been saved by grace, may we desire, may we determine that your way is best. And follow you today. Whatever the needs are today, have you spoken to our heart? Help us to be responsive and obedient this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.